Again, we return to the Gospel of Matthew, opening up the next chapter, chapter 20. We'll look at verses 1 through 16 together and hear the words of the Lord Christ. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Last week, we saw that the apostles were assured that they will rule on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel, verse 28 of chapter 19. And this is amazing. They're lowly fishermen. But Peter wants to know, what about us? Are we going to be rewarded for our sacrifice? We've left everything. And Jesus answers, yes, and you'll receive much more in this life and the life to come. And in fact, you apostles are going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Though you are last in society, O fishermen and others of low esteem, you will be first in position in the kingdom. And so verse 30 ended that section of chapter 19, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Verse 16 of chapter 20 says essentially the same thing. So the last shall be first, and the first, last. Just kind of has it reversed. For many be called, but few chosen. Few chosen. You see, this is connected with the word for in verse 1. There's a continuation in chapter 20 from what was just said. In verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. So now we have a parable to go on and explain, but really to warn us now. We have a warning. Those who will be rewarded for sacrificially serving Jesus must remember it is a gracious gift not to be taken for granted, nor to be held over the heads of others who join the church ranks later on. There's always a danger of getting proud. If we've grown up in the church, or if we've been in the church a long time, there's always a danger of getting proud and think we can do no wrong and think all we do is right and that God should be thankful to have us serving him. And anyone else who joins us later should be thankful that we're leading them. Those who will be rewarded for sacrificially serving Jesus must remember it is a gracious gift to be serving Jesus, not to be taken for granted, nor to be held over the heads of others who join the church ranks later on. I submit that to you as a general idea of our text this night. Beloved, you see, the longer you serve in church, or the earlier you began, the more you could be tempted to shun new arrivals as unworthy of service, let alone leadership. Remember that you all serve at the pleasure of the King who calls whom he wills when he wants. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's an outward call. There's an inward call that the Holy Spirit chooses some and makes them respond. He chooses. He will humble the proud, and he will lift up the humble. So while you are serving, aware of how good you have it and the rewards you'll get in the end, while you are serving, remain humble. Stay humble. That is the message point for you from this text tonight. Here's the application of what was the point of the text. While serving, stay humble. You who are now serving Christ must remember it is by grace. Grace is giving you something you do not deserve. It's like somebody gave you this amazing job that you were not qualified for. You have no business having, but they give it to you and they train you and they bless you with all the great things. You who are now serving Christ must remember it is by grace. And you don't want to be like the prodigal son's brother. And how you countenance others who are in church, who might fall and need to come back to the church, who have come to the church more recently, perhaps from different ways and squandered things. Luke 15, the story of the parable of the prodigal son. You know the story. The son leaves his father. He wants his inheritance now, doesn't even want to wait for his dad to die. And he goes and he wastes it all on riotous, wicked living with the world to the point where he has nothing left and he's lying with the pigs and eating their food. And he says, I got to go back to my father and I won't ask. I'll just ask to be a servant. The servants, my father, have it better than I do. And remember, the father runs out and puts a ring on his finger, kisses him, puts a coat on him, and throws a party. This is what God does to us. This is how we should respond to one another. But how does his brother respond? Oh, not like his father. His brother responds like this. Dad, I can't believe you're doing this for this guy. You know what he did? And I've been here the whole time. And I never left you. I never wasted your money. I don't get a party. And the father said, son, all that I have is yours, but that which was lost is found. Let us rejoice together today, of course, as the angels do in heaven. We don't want to be the prodigal son. We don't want to be the, we don't want to be the prodigal son indeed, but we don't want to be the begrudging brother who complained. We should all say, just like the prodigal son, even if we haven't strayed, that's by God's grace as well. And we should all simply say we are only worthy to be called the Father's servants anyways, if that. And we should simply be thankful to serve in his house as his sons. And if we see other sons coming back in repentance and being restored, though they've wasted things in ways we have not, we should just rejoice. Look at verses 10 and 11. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they received likewise, received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. They murmured. I think we can all understand for a moment if this was a real life experience, we'd probably do the same. But they didn't get more than the others, but they did get what they agreed to. But now that they see these others have not worked as long as we have, and they didn't start in the hot of the day, where do they get off getting the same amount of money that we get for working? I think all of us can say in our heart of hearts, we would say, yeah, right? I mean, don't you? I find myself thinking, this is hard. I don't know. I don't think I'd like that either. But wouldn't we love, wouldn't be so thankful to be the one that didn't have to work as long and we got the same? Wow! Why can't we just be happy that others got the same benefit? They agreed to that payment, right? And it was gracious to give them a job. But they murmured. That should make our antennas go up. Ooh, that's bad. That's dangerous. Ah, why? We remember we've been going through the book of Numbers. They're also not happy, of course, that they had to wait in line when they were the first ones to work the longest, right? I think we can realize our tendency to want to be the same. But they murmured against the good housekeeper, the good master of the house. They murmured, they complained. I'm sure when they first got the job, they were happy to have it, eh? Yes! Yes, I got employment. You think about it, you go to Home Depot, a lot of times you'll see men standing out there hoping to be hired, right? Surely when they first got the job, yes, praise the Lord, I can come home with some money for the wife and children, but now they're not happy and they're not thankful. What has changed? Nothing for them. They were hired. They had this opportunity to serve. They just don't like that others got the same for less work, and they see it as if they've got some special entitlement. But we notice the word murmur again. They're murmuring when they should be thankful still. They're murmuring because they're not happy about others who have come after them. The book of Numbers, we saw that's a very dangerous thing. And 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, referring to the book of Numbers, say, watch out, calling our attention to Psalm 95. And to repent and have faith while it's still today's the day of salvation, recognizing you're going to be murmuring against God. In the book of Numbers, you were saved out of Egypt, and now you want to go back to Egypt. You were saved through the desert, and now you want to go back to the desert. Fed you miraculously with manna for 40 years, and your sandals didn't wear out miraculously. And you missed the promised land because you murmured against me when all you had to do is trust me and be thankful. There's a danger in complaining and murmuring against God's ways. There's a danger in murmuring against God's grace that he gives to others just as generously, calls upon others to serve. And you know, there's people that don't believe they can go to church. They don't think they're good enough. That's an enormous, huge problem, isn't it, beloved? It's the opposite of what their understanding should be. There's people that don't think they are worthy to be called to be Christ's servants. And so they don't come. And sadly, there are those who make them feel that way who are in the church. May we not be among them. Because these people should, instead of murmuring, they should marvel over God's mercy. They should marvel and praise the master of the house for hiring them and entrusting them with his house to care for it and to pay them for it. Or we could think of him as a husbandman. God is called a husbandman in Scripture, the one who cares for the vineyard, because what we're seeing the people being hired up for is to take care of his vineyard. Beloved, here's the thing, and it ought to be what we're hopeful for. We want to keep praying and begging God that he would bring new people into the church, save people in the church, bring people with all kinds of messy lives into the church, that they would be discipled, and that they would grow in the gracious opportunities that the kingdom of heaven offers them. And guess what's going to happen when that happens? It ain't going to be pretty, and it ain't going to be easy. And we're all going to be busy working together to disciple. And we're all going to have a lot of grace, just like we have to for one another, but we kind of get used to it, right? Kind of have our comfortable thing here. Got to be careful about what people warn about the holy huddle, right? You know, the frozen chosen, and no one else can be in our circle. We have to be begging God to make us uncomfortable. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be expecting to disciple and teach people how to serve the Lord properly, but we ought to be thankful when he'll serve us all kinds of challenges to help people learn how to do that. Just as, beloved, so many have been for us over our lives, huh? We ought to be thankful that those who come in and serve later have the same glory as they go out, because it's the same grace from God. God continues to call people. Let us not be afraid of new wine, but make sure we are always expandable wineskins. The first are last. This is a warning. Again, the apostles have just been told they're last, but they'll be first. But now he reverses it. But be careful, apostles. Though you're the first ones I'm sending out, though you're the foundation, we know from Ephesians chapter 2, the apostles are the foundation of the church. That doesn't mean you should start getting all arrogant about yourselves. Remember that you're servants of the church. The first or last, think of John the Baptist. Oh, he had this great and glorious ministry, right? But what did he say about Jesus? I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, as it were. I mean, stop and think about that. Like, do you ever really count yourself unworthy to even touch Jesus' feet? We should. Where do I get off complaining if other people are doing it too and kissing them? John the Baptist, this incredible, powerful ministry. Yet Jesus said he is the greatest on earth, but the least in heaven are greater than him. John the Baptist, so great, who ended his days in prison with his head cut off for serving Jesus. Not something I think you and I have planned in our retirement plan. The apostles are sent first. And again, the word for apostle in the Greek means sent ones. They're the first ones sent. But they must not think they are to be served first later on. They're not sitting on thrones that others would come and wait on their feet. It's an image of ruling and judging and governing Christ's kingdom, but they are all there at the service of the feet of Christ on his throne. Aren't they always arguing who's going to be the greatest, right? Mother, hey, I want my sons to sit at your right hand. They're always arguing about that. And we're warned by Jesus, though we have this glorious opportunity to serve him, not to get arrogant about it. Charles Spurgeon says this: our Lord's pay is not a hire of deservings, but a gift of bounty. He paid on the scale of grace and not at the rate of merit. So you see, as Christ's reward for service is all of grace, it is all the same to all at any time they begin to serve him. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, I love to hear the Christian biographies, but don't you find yourself feeling like you need to crawl out the back and say, I'm not worthy. I don't do anything like this. I haven't started. I mean, I often feel humble. You know, when I started seminary compared to the Puritans years ago, I'm nothing. What can I possibly offer for the Lord and his church? And isn't it nice to know, well, wherever you started, we all have the same gracious reward. And of course, the Puritans, those who are serving the Lord at great sacrifice, would say the same and say, come along, join, come on board. Even gifts and growth are spoken of in the New Testament as graces. Even the things God calls us to do, the things he calls to see in us, Paul will speak of them of grace, that these things are in you. You see, they're gifts, everything, service to Jesus, and everything we have to do for him, it's all gifts. It's not a ladder to climb. We should all be thankful to be on the gospel ship, and we should be encouraged when others get on board and pick up an oar, even if they haven't really learned how to use it very well yet, and they keep hitting us in the head, splashing us, right? Praise the Lord. Let's get where we're going together. So glad to have you come along. William Hendrickson translates the end of verse 15 this way: are you envious because I am generous? Oh, that strikes me. He's asking you Christians, If God has graciously done works in your brothers and sisters' lives and brought others in and maybe done things he hasn't done in your life, and maybe you feel, why not? I've been serving you longer. Are you envious because Christ is generous? Would that not be so? Love is not envious, 1 Corinthians 13. We've been studying Jonathan Edwards in the men's study. William Hendrickson goes on to say this, the very fact that Jesus here links the concept of the kingdom of heaven with house lord or owner of an estate shows that he calls attention immediately to the fact that God is the owner of all and therefore also the sovereign disposer of men's destinies. And when we're talking about this householder, what we need to recognize is we're speaking about the master of the house. We're speaking of the one who is in charge of the house, is the one over it all and everyone under him. He can do whatever he wants with his house. Who are we to argue with him? And if we don't like it, he can call someone else to take our place, as it were. A.W. Argyle says this, Jesus is not teaching a principle of economics. And I did want to insert that real quick because, yeah, I think if you tried to run your business like this, it wouldn't be very successful, right? He's not teaching us principle of economics. What he is teaching us is how to recognize the economy of salvation with God. It's all a gift. The very fact of the opportunity to serve him is a gift. Still, though it's not teaching us economics, if we don't like the idea and we think we would want to quit and find another job, maybe that says how much we think that we are owed heaven and owed heavenly rewards. Think about that. As it relates to God, if we think, well, I don't like this, I'm signing up somewhere else. I don't like that everybody else has come in and all these new things are happening and here I am. And, well, so you want to quit on Christ? Then maybe all along you've been thinking this is a works-based thing like the rich young ruler. You see, our pilgrimage is a privilege. Let me say that again. Our pilgrimage is a privilege. None of us are entitled to everlasting life. None of us are entitled to serve as employees of the Lord Jesus Christ. That being said, if you are not serving Christ, you may receive his grace and begin today. You who are now serving Christ must remember it is by grace. If you are not serving Christ, you may receive his grace and begin today. The 11th hour. Think about it. Third hour. What is it, 6th hour, 9th hour, 11th hour? Wow. Well, that was cutting it close, right? I mean, don't we have that phrase, oh, it just finally came in the 11th hour, right? And we're kind of saying that it just barely came through, or others barely did it, almost suggesting they almost didn't do it. Maybe they didn't quite do it. Just at the last minute, just in the nick of time when we say the 11th hour. And sometimes we're critical when we say this. We really mean it as a criticism. Almost that they're not good enough. They're just barely squeaking by. They probably shouldn't have bothered in the first place. But Jesus is saying it in a welcoming manner. Even those in the 11th hour, almost too late. And yet, it's not too late. It's not too late. God is in control, and God is happy to call more servants at their appointed times and give them the same wages of service. Okay, you're starting later in life. Guess what? I give you the same grace. Guess what? You'll be going to glory, and you'll be in heaven, and you'll be enjoying all the riches of my kingdom all the same. So long as it is not judgment day, it is not too late to be spared God's judgment. This is not about earning eternal life, but it is about receiving eternal life as you become his servants and you stop serving the world and yourself. You die to yourself and you now live in Christ. Jesus has a right to distribute his grace. He has a right to distribute and call anybody he wants to come and serve him. Anyone he pleases, and he is just to do so. Look at verse 4 of chapter 20. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Verses 13 to 15. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And again at the end, many be called, but few are chosen. If I've chosen you, what's it your problem I've chosen someone else? I can choose. Sovereign grace. Unconditional election. A.W. Argo points out that the vineyard is often a symbol in Scripture of the activity of God's kingdom, such as Isaiah 5, verse 1, and Jeremiah 12, verse 10. The idea of a vineyard is the place where God is working. It is the kingdom. And so he's calling people to come and serve his church. Thus, we see Jesus making it clear, even if it be in your 11th hour, there is still an opportunity to join the kingdom. There's still an opportunity to be grafted into Christ the vine. There's still an opportunity for whosoever will desire to be joined to him and bear his fruit. And he says elsewhere, who wants to come to me, I will in no wise cast out. If some of you feel it may be too late for you, it's not. God continues to call others into his kingdom service. Maybe you didn't grow up in church. Maybe you didn't grow up in a good church. There's no reason you can't start now. And there's no reason your children can't be born here. Maybe you have felt you have waited too long to respond. Maybe you feel you've gone too far to be able to come near. You can respond in faith and repentance tonight, while today is still the day of salvation. Because, beloved, when it comes down to it, we are all really just thieves on the cross, turning to Jesus in our dying moments, asking to be remembered in his kingdom after our deaths. But enjoy better service than hanging on your last breath and hanging on your last words. Don't be idle. No one will hire us. Jesus is hiring. There's a sign out here that says, I'm hiring. How many times are people so happy to see a sign hiring? Oh, write down the number. Someone's hiring. Jesus is hiring. He's not done hiring. There's more room for more. It's a huge kingdom. Huge. So much space. So much glory to be shared. So much grace can't be used up. Are you going to remain idle when he calls on you tonight? Or will you say, yes, sign me up. When do I start? His answer is now. Turn to God now in Christ and serve his kingdom. Don't miss out on the rewards of eternal life and all the benefits of being a servant in the glorious everlasting kingdom of Christ. You know, some of us like to watch these different programs where, oh, all the pageantry and riches and way the rich act in these older programs and or of period times. But you know, the servants don't have it so bad either. They got a place to live. They got food. They get to walk around this amazing castle. Right? I mean, we got it great. Don't miss out on it. Great job. No better. One more time, A.W. Argyle says, "For Matthew, the vineyard is the Christian community, and those who join it late will be treated as equal in privilege with those who join it early." There's no need to delay, and there's no worry if you have delayed. Die to yourself now. Serve King Jesus with your new life now, and be thankful that Jesus calls you into the kingdom and calls you what else? Verse 13, friend. He calls his disciples elsewhere, "You're my friends. I share things with you." And he's sharing these things with you. And he calls you friend. Friends of God. Beloved, focus not on what you do. Focus rather on what God does for you, what God does in you. Your labor is not in vain, but may you give him all the glory for whatever you're doing. And rejoice to see him do the same in others. Rejoice to see him do more in others than he's ever done in you. Don't we all want that for our children? I tell my children, I want you to go further with gospel and Christ than I did. You're having a better start than me, and I want you to go further with it. Go beyond me. Please go far beyond me. The things of my life continue to haunt me and hold me down. Go further. I'm happy for you that you don't have those things in your life. Focus not on what you do, but what God does for you and in you. And rejoice to see him do the same in others. And do not compete, but share. Let us not become Pharisees. Let us not become Sadducees, the enemies of Christ in this gospel. As we all clock in at different times, may we all heed Christ's word in Luke 17, verse 10. "When ye shall," and these are the words of Christ as well, "when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." You are a servant by grace, and by grace you serve. Come to Christ tonight, and it's the same thing for you. You are a servant by grace, and by grace you serve. Your rewards will be the Spirit's fruit in you to enjoy. And your rewards will be crowns to cast at Christ's feet. So don't seek to be first. Be happy to be last. Be thankful to be serving King Jesus in the kingdom of heaven that will never end. And while serving, beloved, stay humble. Again, that is the message for you this evening. While serving, stay humble. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do thank you for this warning. We are so thankful for the promise of reward, but let us also hear the warning. Not to get self-righteous. Not to be looking to put ourselves up in any place of service, to be looking at it as service, and not to get some kind of worldly honor. So let us look for real servants as you looked for real servants to make your apostles. And you passed over many that the world would appoint and often does in the church. Lord, let us look for true servants. Humble. And may we be humble. And may we say, "There but by the grace of God go I." And Lord, may you make us uncomfortable this year as we have to learn how to work and help many who know nothing of serving you, know nothing of proper decorum and behavior, know nothing of what you command of them. Let us be ready to disciple them and not to look down on them, but to be thankful. Thankful you've led us in earlier, and to be thankful and hopeful to be last and let them go first. As I heard of Dr. Scipione yesterday at his memorial service, they said he never took credit for anything. So many people's lives were touched by him, and they didn't know because they didn't even know him, but it was his ministry through others, and he was happy to never get any credit. Oh, Lord, we confess we want credit. We want glory. We want recognition. May we lay it all at your feet and happily and quietly serve and rejoice to see you working in the lives of others, never getting any celebrity or popularity or credit to ourselves, but rather to say we're just unworthy servants doing our duty. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are your servants. And we do pray, Lord, that if there are any here tonight that have not been in your church serving you, let them not feel as though they cannot come to you now, but rather hear your call, if it even be in the 11th hour, and let them respond knowing it's not too late, and to learn the greatness of serving King Jesus all their days, and then to enter into glory. Oh Lord, indeed help us to serve you humbly. We acknowledge we need humility more and more and more. We think of the Proverbs that say, humility is what makes you great. We remember the scriptures tell us that you will humble the proud, but lift up the humble. Humble us, Lord, and lift us up on eagle's wings to serve at the pleasure of our King and with gladness to have others come along and to be happy to step out of their way and to see what you will do with new wine. Oh, Lord, we do ask that it would all be for the glory of King Jesus, the King and Head of the Church, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we do pray for your blessing upon your church and your people. And we do ask that you would add to this church and your church throughout the world daily such as should be saved and have us ready to wash their feet. We ask your blessing upon these things and that we will take it to heart and that our heart will beat for you. And that others will sense that and come to you and find their hearts made alive for you as well. Bless this time we've had together and let us rejoice in your sovereign grace. We pray in Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen.